Good morning, church. Hey, I wanted to let you in on a little secret. Something is happening this year that I think only happens once every 57 years or so, but Christmas happens on Sunday this year. Next Sunday is Christmas Day, which means the next Sunday is New Year's Day. All right, now here's why this is important. Number one, I hope you still join us because we'll be here and we'll be worshiping God. And here's the other thing. All of your parents have my number. And depending on how you act this week, will be directly reflected in the length of next week's sermon. So if you want to hustle and get to your family's festivities, activities, because I don't know what you guys are going to do before or after. I don't know. I'm just saying, if I get texts from a lot of parents that are saying, oh, my kids are being really good this week, then I'm going to have a big smile on my face and I'm going to talk really fast so you can get out of here. If I get a bunch of texts from parents saying, ooh, my kid is having a rough one, and they're putting me through the ringer, then we'll just buckle in and we'll just go for a while. So just want to let you know. Just want to let you know. I'm glad that you are here today. Today is a good day. And look, there's a lot of stuff going on around us and a lot of people affected, and we're affected, but today is a good day because the good news of Jesus does not ever cease to be good news. And so we're going to talk about it, and we're going to be encouraged by it, and we're going to be strengthened by it, and we're going to get out there and we're going to live our life of faith, and we're going to encourage, and we're going to love, and we're going to pray, and we're going to continue to be exactly who we need to be. So let's go to our Father in prayer, because what He has called us to is big and amazing, and we need His help to do it. So let's pray together. All right, go ahead and open your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Last Sunday we talked about the fact that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the destination that we all are living towards, straining towards, and hoping to be with. And at the same time, Jesus Himself is also the journey of how to get there. And when that really gets in your heart, you start reading Scripture less and less concerned about the tense of verbs. That's what I have learned. You know what verb tenses are? Past, present, and future, right? And there's a bunch of perfects and imperfects and other stuff. Sherry will talk to you in the hallway after if you need more details. But I'm just talking about past, present, and future. We are really concerned about what already has happened, what is happening, or what is still yet to happen. And the more you read Scripture and the more that this gets in your heart, that God, because of eternity, is not as concerned about the tense of verbs as we are. And so last week, as we saw that we see that ending with Jesus and being able to journey with Jesus is really all the same thing. And something starts to happen. Something starts to happen when that gets in our hearts. And something starts to happen when you and I get up each and every day and with full faith and conviction, trust God. The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We stop worrying about tomorrow. And we just enjoy walking with Jesus today. And so today, I wanted us to take a look at two stories that Jesus Himself gives us from Luke chapter 12. And what this is going to do is, oh boy, this is going to deal with our attitudes and our actions. And when you're following Jesus, those are two very important things. And if we are going to live with eternity in our hearts, and if we are going to live today with the same joy and the same elation and the same power as that day when Jesus comes back and we just get to see Him, if our faith comes closer to sight, we're going to have changed attitudes and we're going to have changed actions. And in Luke chapter 12, Jesus just puts these stories just right next to each other, and He says, here's what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Okay, Luke chapter 12, let's begin in verse 22. Jesus is going to talk about our attitude, what we think, how we think. Verse 22 of Luke 12, he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, I underline that one makes me laugh. Why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat, what you are to drink, or be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right. When you and I start to live our life and this journey with Jesus, and as it begins to look more and more like it's going to look when we end up at the destination of Jesus, when we start to understand eternity, he's put it in our hearts. I mean, scripture tells us he has put eternity into our hearts. That means we can see beyond time. And I know it's kind of mind-bending. It just kind of, when you think about it too much, it just kind of, it messes with you. But when you understand that God is outside, above, and all around everything that's happening, when you start to see that and you start to get that in your heart and you start to have eyes that see everything as he sees things, when we have heavenly perspective, eternal perspective, then we can start to get on board with this and faithfully do what Jesus has said to do. And he says, quit worrying about everything. Quit worrying about everything. Quit being so anxious. Now, look, I'm not trying to beat you up with this. I'm not trying to beat you up with this, but we have got to hear this because we are so wrapped up in all the reasons why we should remain anxious. We are so tied up in all the excuses we have to be afraid, to be worried. Church, that's not from God. It's not. Well, we like to paint it up. We like to make ourselves feel better about it. Now, and this is not, again, all the things that we have inside of us, because the enemy gets a strong foothold in our heart with this issue right here. He gets in there and we will justify everything. Oh, so what, Michael? You just telling us we just need to be heartless robots, not care about anything, not care about anybody? Okay, well, if that voice is saying that inside of you right now, that's not me. So you better start to recognize. Our Lord and Savior, the one who has secured eternity, has also secured today. He loves you enough to take care of your soul. He can handle your puny little body. So quit sweating it. Quit worrying about it. Well, what are we going to eat? Well, look at the birds. Do they have barns? No, they don't. Do they store up for tomorrow? No. Tomorrow, they get up, they'll go find it. They'll eat it. What's the problem? That's not us, though, is it? No, that's not us. We got freezers, menus, planning. We got preparation. Right? I mean, we just kind of lose it over this stuff, don't we? And Jesus says, you don't need to. I mean, you can. It's an option. It's there. But you don't need to. Okay, so what does an eternal attitude look like? It looks like when everyone else around us is losing our mind, guess what? We don't have to play those games. We don't join in. What, are you not worried about this or about that? No, quite frankly, I'm not. What, are you heartless? No, I'm not. I feel deeply. I feel deeply. One of the things I feel very deeply about, all the poor people that are worried about all this stuff. I'm not heartless. It's not that life doesn't affect me. Oh, well, you're just so perfect. You're just so good. You've never been hungry or you've never had to suffer. Nope, that's not it. I've tasted suffering. I know what the bitter gall tastes like. I know, and that's not why I trust God, because He has shielded me and allowed me to never be touched by life. That's not it either. It's because when God says a thing, I believe Him. When God says a thing, I believe Him. And there's no argument that you can say to make me drop that. I just won't. I can't. Jesus points out, and I love it. I love it. It's just dripping in there in verse 25. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I love that, right? Oh, you want to be worked up about something? Great. Show me how that's going to make you live longer. Go ahead. I'll wait. I mean, that's what he says to him. And he says, if you can't add an hour to your life in the flesh, then what are you worried about? If you can't even do such a, what does he call it? Such a little thing as that. If you can't even determine the span of your existence in that body, then why are you so worked up? What does your worry get you? Does your worry make you happy? Does your worry make people around you happy? No. But how many of us, we just suffer with anxiety, right? We're just worked up. We're just, whoa. Right? And then, I mean, the worst part, isn't the worst part when there's nothing to be anxious about, so we're anxious by the absence of anxious things? That's the worst, isn't it? Something's not right. I don't know what it is yet, but something's not right. So I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to store up worry, right? Jesus says, don't store up food. I'll take care of you. And we store up worry, right? And he tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. That's all we do, it seems, isn't it? We worry about tomorrow. I got to deal with this issue at the office. I got to deal with this issue at school. Oh, those kids, they're going to be crazy this week. Charlie's like, oh, I had stopped worrying about it for a minute. Thanks a lot. We just tear ourselves up. We tear ourselves up, and Jesus comes with the good news, not just that he died for our sins, but he comes to us with the good news of your Father in heaven loves you. And he has done everything to take care of you. And he is taking care of you. He is taking care of you. And church, just to make it just super, super simple. Has everybody got food to eat for lunch today? We do, don't we? I mean, either you made it or you're going to go out and grab it. And if you don't, come talk to me. Because the Lord's going to provide it one way or another. He may provide it through your paycheck this week. He may provide it through my paycheck this week. But He's going to provide it. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And so our attitude of following Jesus is fear. Verse 32, fear not, little flock. Your God has given you an eternal kingdom. An eternal kingdom. So quit worrying about all the treasures and things that you store up for yourself, because those things aren't going to last. All the little pretty shiny things. We think we grow up and we get so mature, but we're just chasing shiny things. Right? He said those things don't matter. Store up for yourself eternal heavenly treasures. Because everything that we've got here, everything that we just love and we adore and we take care of and we spend time on, all that stuff is not going to last. He says put your energy in things that when Jesus comes back, and the Bible tells us, look, when He comes back, it's fire, not water this time, but the fire is for burning away all the unnecessary. That's what the fire is going to do. The fire is going to burn away all the stuff that's not of God. All the stuff that's not worthy. All the stuff that's not eternal. Because we don't need it. We like to think we need it. That makes our existence here happier and more comfortable. And God says, you don't need that stuff. All you need is me. But we have a hard time with that, right? Well, yeah, God, I know I need just you, but this makes me happy. You know, I know I don't need it, Lord, but I really enjoy this. I like to spend my time on this. And again, you and I both know that nothing in and of itself is sinful or idolatrous until we make it so. So don't make it so. Live light. Live light. Put your treasures in heaven, because that's what's going to last. And so God has given us an eternal kingdom where thieves can't get in and steal. Look. We're eternal, right? Everybody on the same page? Yeah. We are eternal. That we who are saved by Jesus Christ, washed by His blood, we are eternal. That He has put that in our hearts. That's our treasure. And that can't be stolen. And that can't be taken away. And so if I have the treasure of God right here, I'm walking with Jesus now. I'm enjoying His blessings now. I'm enjoying His gifts now. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait, so I don't have to worry. All right, He says in the next section. So we deal with our attitude, and now He says, okay, well, your actions are going to be affected when you start to live eternity in the present. Verse 35. Yep, 35. Stay dressed for action. And keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, well, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everybody? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if the servant says, my master's delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Okay, so in this section, Jesus is just taking care of our attitude and our trust and our hope and our lack of fear. We're going to give our hearts completely to Him and trust Him in these things. And now He says, your actions must be eternal. Your actions must be eternal. That means that we are putting our little hands and our energy and everything that we are and everything that we do in building and being a part of His eternal kingdom. That He has given us a purpose. That He planned it out this way. Jesus told His initial followers, yes, I am going away, but it's for your benefit. He had to go and die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He had to taste death for all of us so that we wouldn't have to. It had to be done. It was for our benefit. And He said, but don't worry, it's going to get better. It's going to be even better because I'm going to send you my Spirit. I'm going to send you my Helper. And my Helper will be with you, will be in you, will encompass you and surround you and fill you until I come back for you. Which again, we read things through the Gospels and we hear the words of Jesus and we start to understand the things that He talks about when He says, hey, you want to know the answer to every prayer? It's more Spirit. It's more Spirit. You want to know how the Spirit works? Absolutely, I do. Great. It's like wind. Go grab it. Wait, what? Yeah, it is. Just when you think you got it, right? It is. Church, I'll be the first to admit to you, following Jesus is frustrating. It's hard. It is. But come on, would you want it any other way? If it was easy, it wouldn't be worth doing. It's mysterious. God is doing stuff we don't even know about. God's got stuff going on over here. He's got stuff going on over here. And, you know, we walk around like this. Here's my experience of God. Right? And someone bumps into our experience of God and they say, oh, wait a minute. I see someone else's shoes. Someone else has crept into my experience of God. That can't be right. That's someone else's experience. Don't bother my experience of God. And Jesus just says, it's big. It's big. God's doing all sorts of stuff, and it drives us crazy, right? Why does it drive us crazy? Why? Why does it drive us crazy to even know that someone else is having a different experience of God than we are? Because we can't control that. Because we like God to fit right there. No, this is what He does, this is how He does it. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure is. You ever get a broken finger from holding on so tight? God just works in us and He's like, I'm trying to get you pried open. I'm trying to get you to realize that God is not something for you and I to trap in here and go, okay, all right, I'm going to let you out when I need you, okay? So be cool. Be cool. I'll call if I get in trouble. Shh. I'm talking to someone. Oh, we treat Him horribly. We treat Him horribly. And Jesus says, look, God has put something in your life. He has put something in your lap. He has given you direction. And basically, if you want to know how your actions match the eternal and the present, He said, you better be doing what you want God to catch you doing when He comes back. I'm convicted by that. I am convicted by that. I mean, I have literally been watching a TV show and gone, if Jesus came back, tore the roof off right this second, and He saw what was on my TV right now, would He feel comfortable to sit on the couch next to me? Maybe turn a few things off. Like, I don't think He would. I don't think He would. If Jesus came back right now and heard the conversation I was having with this person right now, would He feel comfortable standing next to me going, So Jesus says, if you want to connect the now and the then. If you want to get the journey and the destination and put them together, quit living for the journey and live for the destination. Because it is the destination that's worth something. All right? It's the destination that will last. So if we want to be eternal, if we want to enjoy these words that he says and these promises that he gives, if we want to understand how God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we got to get on his schedule and his pace and his place. And stop just asking him to show up in our place. Our place is small. Our place is small. God invites us to big. He invites us to big. And we would say, that's kind of scary. It's absolutely scary. Those first disciples, Jesus comes along and says, hey, you, follow me. Yeah, come on, let's go. But I'm working. Working, schmirking. You're a fisherman? You're going to fish for men from now on. Fish for men, you say, right? I mean, I have mental pictures of the, you don't mess with the Zohan, with him flying out of the water. If you don't know that reference, you can check with me later. Fishing for, what? He says, yeah, you're going to be doing bigger stuff. This is little stuff. No, but I went to school for this. This is big stuff. No, it's really not. It's really not. This is little stuff. Come on and do big stuff. Come on and do eternal stuff. Come on and do kingdom stuff that lasts. You know, it's basically what he's saying here with your attitude and your actions. He's basically just calling us to live out the prayer that he prayed a chapter earlier in Luke chapter 11. Because the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We need to know what it says. And he goes, okay, Father, hallowed be your name. I'm in Luke 11 verse 2. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Wait, it can really be that simple? Yeah, God is holy. We're living for his kingdom, not our own. And he gives us enough food for today, we're good. He took care of us. He is literally taking care of today. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And forgive us because we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us to good stuff. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah. God said it's eternity, today, present, future. I can lock this together. It's really not that hard. Let's go back to chapter 1 because Chester read for us an interesting little part of the story. And it is Luke chapter 1. And Luke chapter 1, we got this guy. Is it Zechariah? Is it an A? Help me out. Zechariah. It's an E. Sorry. Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest. Okay? Now, before this part that Chester read for us, I think we need to get the beginning of Luke's gospel. The beginning of Luke's gospel finds this guy, Zechariah. Zechariah, again, he and his wife are old and they don't have any kids. Abraham. Yeah. But the scripture does tell us he and his wife were both devout because in those days someone couldn't have kids. Ooh, God's mad at you. You know, just like everything that happened bad to somebody. Ooh, somebody sinned. Somebody messed up. But Luke tells us, no, these are good people. These are good people. They just haven't had any kids. They can't have kids. And so he's a priest. He serves at the temple and they are casting lots. They are casting lots to see who's going to go into the temple. And I love this tradition. So they're casting lots. Zechariah wins. He's going to go in. He's going to offer incense into the presence where God meets man. And you'll notice at the beginning of Luke chapter 1 that everybody else stayed outside and they prayed. Okay? Now, you would think, I mean, and let's just say that it would be something like this, church. I'm just going to make it akin. That today I was chosen and God is behind that door. And so I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do some religious stuff in there. And you guys have to stay out here the whole time I'm in there and you got to pray for me. Okay? And then I'll be in there and when I'm done, I'll come back. It's kind of like how it was, except a few different things. And I love the things, some of the caveats that they did. And you've heard about some of the old traditions, right? Like the rope. You know the rope for the Holy of Holies? Love the rope. Yeah, they would tie a rope around the priest's ankle. Why do you think that is? Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, this service is going, you think Michael preaches long? Somebody dies in the Holy of Holies and you're sitting out there going, how long is it going to take? Right? Yeah, so they learned their lesson, I'm sure, when the next guy cast his lot and he's like, I don't want to do it. And you got to be the one to say, bless us, Lord. Make us better than him. And you got to drag him out. So, yeah, they tied a rope around their ankle just in case. If you were in there and you did something that made God mad and God went, pull you out. All right, we'll try again next time. Well, Zechariah gets his number called, and it's his turn. He goes in. He goes in, and he goes in through the Holy of Holies, and he's in the presence of God. And everybody out here is praying. And what they're praying is, please don't let him offend God. Please don't let him mess up. Please don't let him do anything wrong. Right? And he goes in, and I love this at the beginning of chapter 1 in Luke. Because in there, in the presence of God, what happens? The angel Gabriel shows up. And what does it say about Zechariah? I absolutely love when that happens in the Bible because it happens to us all the time. When we show up and we're like, oh, I'm here because I want to experience the presence of God. And then when God shows up, we're all like, oh! Right? That's what he was going in there for. Church, it's what I'm coming here for. I am offering God my spiritual sacrifice and worship. And I would like to think that he cares enough to show up. Well, the angel shows up to Zechariah and says, Zechariah, all right, I got good news. And he tells him all about the kid he's going to have. And he's going to do this, he's going to do that, and he's going to lead people to Jesus, and he's just going to have an awesome ministry. All this stuff is going to happen. And Zechariah's response is, here, I'll show you. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verse 18. After all the promises, Zechariah said to the angel, well, how shall I know this? I'm an old man. And my wife is advanced in years. I mean, you think I'm old. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words. How many times have you asked for a sign and God gave you the wrong one? Lord, I'm going to need you to show me something. Okay. You think it's hard living with this thorn in the flesh? Here's a bigger one. Oh, I apologize, Lord. I was doing pretty good. I had no idea. I was doing pretty good. Lord, fix my life. No. I was reading that this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The apostle Paul said, boy, three times I went to God and said, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. Just take it away because it's just getting in the way of me serving you. And what did God say? Nope. My grace is enough. Live with that. Oh, your grace is enough. No, Lord, it'll be enough when you fix my problem. Nope. It is enough. My grace is enough. Trust it. Trust it. And so we get in and when Zechariah, and remember, he can't talk for the pregnancy of his wife. Now, moms, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, Zechariah comes out of the Holy Holies and Elizabeth is like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and making me whole and not having to listen to that guy for 9 months. Her prayers are answered. Zechariah's going right. He's trying to show them what happened in there. And they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know. And so they go along and they go along and you got the whole pregnancy, and then John is born, and they're like, okay, what should we name him? What should we name him? And Elizabeth says, well, we're going to name him John. John? There's no John in your family. Why would we name him John? And finally, God gives Zechariah back his voice right at that moment. He says, his kid's name is John. Oh, okay. Fine. We'll name the kid John, whatever you want. And then he just has this beautiful prophecy. And if you didn't catch this, this is what I want you to notice. And if you need to go back this afternoon and read it, here's what I want you to see from this prophecy of Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to 79. Zechariah is loose with his verb tenses. He is loose with them. Past, present, future, he doesn't care. He uses them interchangeably, and he'll use any of them. It doesn't matter. God said it, done. Gonna happen? Already happened. I don't care. Same to me. What? Church, that's it. When God speaks, it's good. It's good. It's done. Well, it hadn't happened to me yet. It doesn't matter. God said it. And if God said it, it's as good as done. And if it's as good as done, then you can live today enjoying it and trusting it as though it were in your hand. Right? Hey, what do we say next Sunday was? Oh, okay. All right. Show of hands. Anything wrapped under the tree yet? Ah, okay. All right. Show of hands. Does anyone know what anything is wrapped under the tree yet? Okay. Does it have your name on the tag? Is it yours? It's got your name on the box. It's yours. It's yours. You just haven't opened it yet. It's yours. Right? I mean, unless something really bad happens. Beth gets up next Sunday morning and walks in there, and every box that had her name on it is gone. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. It's sitting there right now. It's got your name on it. It's your gift. It's good. It's yours. It's yours. Well, I want them all now. I want them all now. Well, you're not ready for them all now. You're not ready for them all now. I'm ready. I can handle it. No, you can't. You are not ready for all of God's blessings at this moment. You know what you're ready for? You're ready for today's blessings. Today, where you are ready for today's blessings. Enough food to eat, sins to be forgiven, and learning to live with eternal purpose and power. That's what you're ready for, and that's what God provides you today. So today, tomorrow, yesterday, eternity, we trust God. We trust God, and it's all been brought together in Jesus Christ. So, I don't know about you, but my attitude can be more trusting. I don't have to worry about it. I don't know about you, but my actions can be of service to others. Because that's what's going to last. And he does say, hey, if I catch you serving like you're supposed to, guess what? When I come back, I'm going to give you more service. I'm going to allow you to serve with real things. Right now, you're serving with temporary things. You do that well, I'm going to let you serve with real things. That's awesome. And Zechariah, yesterday, today, tomorrow, when you see it from God's perspective, God has said it, it's as good as done. All the promises that you were waiting for, didn't we read that last week? All their promises find their yes in Jesus? Exactly. It doesn't matter if you're still waiting for some to be unwrapped or fulfilled. They're yours. God knows when you need them. And that's when he'll open them up. That's when he'll provide them. So why don't we trust God to do his job and we worry about doing our job? And that's being faithful to him. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you have not tasted all that goodness, we invite you to come and do that. And this morning, if you are a Christian, church, attitude and actions, do not be anxious. Serve other people. We get those two things right this week, you're going to have an amazing Christmas. Right?
Yeah.
That's just 1 week. That's all you got to do. I'll talk about something else next week. This week, from now until next Sunday morning, attitude. And actions. There it is. There it is. All right. If you need to respond, let us know. Let's stand together and sing.